Before we look into the, before we pray, let's look into the scripture, and we want to resume where we were, where we left off last week. We began looking at the Beatitudes last week, so you should know exactly where to turn. Matthew chapter 5. Last week we looked at verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Tonight we want to consider verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And it's clear right away as you read that, that our Lord is not speaking as the world would speak. He is not defining life and its fulfillment the way that the normal definitions run out there in the street. Now, blessed, for instance, blessed means what? It means, it can mean any number of things. It can be interpreted several ways. Fortunate, to be envied, happy. These are all adequate definitions that kind of expand the sense of what Jesus is saying here about what it means, what's going on in the spirits of these people. But as you read this list, and particularly as you look at this one, "Blessed are those who mourn," it sounds like, wait. He's saying that those who mourn are happy. Happy are those who mourn. It's almost like saying fortunate are the unfortunate, or to be envied are those who are to be pitied. And so you've got this sense of contrast and almost contradiction, and you think, well, I've got to just spend a bit more time with this and really ask God, what is he saying here? What does it mean? What is he trying to share with us? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we tried to look at that last week. And blessed are those who mourn, as we consider that this week. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, does he mean the mourning that just comes from suffering? Possibly, I'll say, but not necessarily. If it was just the sense of sorrow that brought on blessedness, then everybody in the book of Revelation would be exceedingly happy and blessed. But you see people that are experiencing wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines and judgments, and they are not repenting. They are not getting one whit the more holy, are they? They're not moving towards God. They're not happy at all. And so it means something different than that. Now, it can lend and lead the soul that way. We have mentioned this before, and we'll mention it again. We have this book, it's Crowded to Christ, and it talks about this. It's a testimony in this one chapter about this Jewish fella in Nazi oppression there in Germany, and he found himself, like they all did in those days, they were come against, they were persecuted, they were moved against. But he said about this, that every blow drove them closer and closer to the light. And so they thanked God for every blow because it took them to ultimately to faith in Jesus. Now that's a good thing, isn't it? And you can say, well, there you go. Blessed are those who mourn. But again, it means more than just suffering outwardly or maybe even suffering inwardly. What does this mean? And I just want to share one place in Scripture that gives us one interpretation, one idea. And so you'll need to turn with me now to the book of Daniel. And if you would, join me there in Daniel, and we'll start in chapter 10. And as you turn there, let me just say that as we tried to describe blessed are the poor in spirit as those, again, it's not just that they're destitute of money, they're destitute spiritually, and they know that they need to come to God. They recognize a poverty in their inner man. They realize that they are bankrupt before a holy God. And this leads them to do what? You might say it leads them to mourn. To mourn over their sin, indeed. To mourn over who they are outside of Christ, yes. To mourn over who they are in Adam, indeed. But to bring this to God with a sense of would you do something about this? And what was our Lord's statement against about that? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's comfort that God is going to give for those who are mourning. Now, We'll just start in verse 1 of Daniel 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message, and he had an understanding of the vision. Now listen, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. Now what was he doing? He was expressing sorrow, wasn't he, before God? And you can read one of his prayers that's recorded for us in this book. And he confesses his sin and the sins of his people. It's a type of mourning where you lament before God and you say, ah, woe is me, or even woe is us, because we have, and you can fill in the blank as much as you have liberty in the Spirit to do. But he is praying for 3 weeks before his God. 3 entire weeks, he says, I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. So this gives us a picture of a man who is mourning in spirit. He is grieved. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever felt this way about the modern church and looked at her and thought, we could be so much more? Why is our teaching so shallow? Why is our witness so anemic? Why are the masses not tugging on our shoulders saying, let us go with you? We've heard God is with you. And the answer is obvious there, isn't it? Have you ever mourned over God for these things? I'm sure you have. Sometimes it hits us more, sometimes less. But when you think about the modern church, like Daniel was thinking about his own nation, here we are, the people of God. And we spent 70 years outside of Jerusalem, away from the land of promise. Are we not Abraham's offspring? What are we doing here? And he grieves and mourns before God for those 3 entire weeks. Now, the point here is Jesus says, blessed are they, happy are they, fortunate are they, to be envied are they who are in this. And why? The Lord has a way of comforting his people. In fact, I want you to look at some of this. Verse 10, behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and on my knees. Suddenly he has a vision. Now, I don't remember if you remember when we went through the book of Daniel and taught through it, and I stepped out on a limb and I said, I really think that who he is seeing here is more than just an angel. And I jumped out there and said, I think he is seeing a vision of the Son of the pre-incarnate Son of God because of the description. Sometimes if it says there's an angel, you'll have a verse. But we've got verse upon verse upon verse of this interesting individual here. And he sees and stands, this man standing before him, and he's dressed in this glorious garb, and he's almost impossible to look at. In fact, he falls down before him, and a hand touches him and sets him trembling on his hands and knees. Now jump over to verse 18. Well, back up. Daniel says, how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again, and he strengthened me, and he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. The first point is God has a way of strengthening us, encouraging us as we mourn. There is personal, individual help. In this particular instance, the Lord comes to Daniel and speaks to him, touches him, raises him up, makes this man to be comforted and assured that all will be well. Now that is a blessedness. As we understand any definition of the word, that's a blessed experience. When you're with the Lord in your prayer chamber and you have been mourning before him and suddenly he is there, strengthening you, comforting you, imparting strength and encouragement to you. Now, he goes on. And on comes after this lengthy description of what's going to happen in the following decades and centuries up to the coming of Christ. And then you hear of wars and rumors of wars and all of this, and then you come down to chapter 12, turn with me there, and the Lord is not through speaking to his servant who's been mourning. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Now at that time Michael the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people will arise." Now there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. That's like Moses standing before Pharaoh and saying, "We're not leaving a hoof behind. We're all going. God's going to deliver the whole thing, kit and caboodle. Lock, stock, and barrel, we're getting out of here." This is what the Lord is saying to Daniel here. Your nation is going to be delivered. Those who are yours, everyone who is found written in the book, they are going to be rescued. He has a sense. Now, this is no small thing when you're encouraged about your people, when your church, when your congregation, when your denomination, when the people of God, and however you define them, when God says to you, "It will be well. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted." And this is the kind of comfort that some of us who feel the burden for the church really need to hear God say to us, "I'm in control. I know them. My mark is upon them. I know exactly who they are. I know exactly how to bring them out of trouble. And there's not going to be a hoof left behind. All shall be delivered." That's national comfort. And then he goes on. Look at verse 2. "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Suddenly he's speaking about the resurrection. He has jumped over centuries. This is the way prophets do. They'll speak of something and they'll have something even further off in view. And they'll describe something that's about to happen, but it will portend something that is further out. And at this instance, the Lord is speaking to him about the day of the resurrection. Verse 3, "Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness." And here you are, saints. "Brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." This is almost like the Lord taking Abraham out of his tent, isn't it? And saying, "Now look up there. I would love to see that, what he saw, without any bit of light pollution, just star upon star, and the Milky Way and all of its creaminess, and who knows what else he saw." But he said, "Now count them, count them, count them. So will your descendants be." And he's given a picture here. Your people, those who lead, who have insight, will shine like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness, they're going to be like those stars forever and ever. Boy, my cup's overflowing at this point. I've got so much comfort that if this was happening to me, I might have to say, like others have said to the Lord, "Stay your hand, Lord. I'm only an earthen vessel. I can only take so much." And he's saying, "Did I not promise to you, pressed down, shaken together, and then still running out all over? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." When you have a view, we grasp this a bit every Easter, don't we? We get a little taste of the resurrection. We've seen it in Jesus. We've studied it a little bit here and there in history. We plugged ourselves into that equation and look off to that great day of promise when the Lord has said, "And I will raise him up on the last day." And we sense a little sense of flutter in our spirits, don't we? Maybe some Easter's more than others, but sometimes it's almost always there. And this is what he's having. He is seeing the resurrection, and the Lord is comforting with what he's going to do. Now, I like the way he closes his book, Daniel, and how the Lord just sort of ends speaking to his servant. Verse 13, the last verse of the book. As for you, go your way on to the end. Just keep on keeping on. Be faithful until death. It's not the sort of thing that you'd say, well, you don't need to say this to a guy like Daniel. Of course you do. Everyone needs to hear this. We all need to be encouraged. We all need to be told, go your way to the end. And this is what the Lord is saying. Just go on. He's saying, I'm pleased with what you're doing. Your way honors me. And just keep going until you can go no further. And you take your last step on this earth, and then you'll step into glory. And what does he say? I've changed the wording a bit. Then you will enter into rest, and you will rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. What portion is that? Well, those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life. And if they have insight, they'll shine brightly like the brightness of the stars. And those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's your allotted portion, Daniel. You go your way. This is comfort. He is not pulling him out of Babylon and putting him into Jerusalem here, is he? He's pulling him out of Babylon and putting him in the heavens. Saying, you want to be comforted, this is what's coming for you. Forever and ever. And Roy Dean, let's put another one in there, just for good measure, and ever. Well, I think those 3 weeks of mourning before the Lord and fasting were richly repaid, don't you? Oh, what a good God we serve. It's really a small thing just to say, oh Lord, we've sinned, we've behaved wickedly, we have committed iniquity, we have transgressed, like David would say, iniquities prevail against me. And then just pour the matter out before God. And then have God just take you up and pick you up and carry you into the heights. Oh, we serve a sweet master. Let's pray.